listening to the AfterBuzz TV network.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, this is AfterBuzz TV, Mad Men Edition. Tonight's host is Paul Ashton. Joining Paul will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Phil Svitek, Elizabeth Kiernan, and Trilby Glover. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 347-855-8269. That's 347-855-8269. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Paul Ashton!
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to AfterBuzz TV for Mad Men Season 4, Episode 10. I am Paul Ashton. I'm here with Trilby, Elizabeth, and Phil, my fellow Mad Men and women. And tonight we're going to break down everything we just saw from tonight's wonderful episode. We're all very excited to get stuck into it. In our special segment tonight, we're going to have a look at some of our favorite moments of the season so far, because this is our first AfterBuzz Mad Men show, so we want to do a little bit of a recap of things that have stuck with us. But before we do that, over to you, Trilby. Take us for a stroll down Madison Avenue with a recap.
What a great episode. The heat's really been turned up on all of the guys at Sterling Cooper Draper Price. We started on Roger, and you may remember that last week he and Joni fell back into old patterns and had a bit of a tryst, and that was resulted in Joni getting pregnant. So she started the episode by saying she's really sorry, which I was a little bit confused about. Why does she have to be so sorry for being pregnant? Anyway, this was dealt with by them going to have an abortion, and we got a bit of that 60s snapshot, or merging into the late 60s, where the doctor was really judging them for having the abortion, which we don't normally look, we don't expect to see so much today. That was interesting. Then Roger
depends
had to,
what state of the country,
well,
or anything.
I guess so. And then Roger had to also deal with Lucky Strike, one of the biggest clients that they have, just told him they're going to be moving their account away from the company, which is a big blow. So he's dealing with the abortion and losing Lucky Strike. Meanwhile, Don's getting the heat turned up on him because they've just been dealing with the North American Aviation account, and he's requested security clearance, which he wasn't even aware he had done. And suddenly everyone wants to know, again, the great question, who is Don Draper? And the FBI agents show up at Betty Draper's house and try and interview her about it. This freaks her out. Don starts freaking out, having heart palpitations, which gets him to confess his true identity to his new girlfriend, the doctor lady. Can't remember what her name is, but she's now going to be a bigger part, I think, because she now holds Don's secret. And then Peter Campbell also knows all about Don and is probably going to lay it on him. We're not sure which way he's going to go in the episode, but he ends up supporting him in the ep. And then we've got Lane, the English guy. He's got a bunch of stuff going on, expecting to see his son, but getting his horrible father instead.
Nasty piece of work, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he's all excited. We get a big piece of new information that he's madly in love with this woman who is a black woman. He calls her his chocolate bunny, which is funny. And he tries to present her to his father, but his father just whacks him on the head and says, get back to England. We end the episode with the three men having a big account meeting, and Peter has to hide the fact that he's letting the aviation account go because he's covering for Don. And then Roger is hiding from everybody that they've lost Lucky Strike, so the company's in a real terrible situation, and all the men's personal lives are as well.
Yes, we certainly do feel as you said, Trill, the heat being turned up. It's like a Bunsen burner was put under each of those three guys tonight. Really funny, I thought, that we opened with the Beatles tickets. I mean, I'm hoping that maybe there'll be a little bit more of a squiz of Beatlemania next week.
But Sally
certainly did deliver the appropriate kind of scream that I think we need to look at any of those old videos.
Absolutely. I love Sally so much. I think she's fantastic.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about her later on because I think that little actress has just come into her own this season.
Yeah.
We can talk about that more. But it was as if the hysteria of Beatlemania, which just bookended the episode, was kind of like lying underneath the three guys, the three men, and of course Joni, as they dealt with some really difficult problems, as we, you know, we're two or three episodes away from the end of the season. It's time for them to start upping the stakes. And so let's start with Don. And what I thought was just another chapter of John Hamm stepping it up as in terms of his portrayal of Don Draper. Do you have anything to say, Elizabeth?
He's fantastic. I think it was so nice to see these men that always have it together, and it's always the women usually that have, you know, they have to get abortions and they are pregnant and they, you know, they are always apologizing for things. And every time a secretary leaves the office, it's like, okay, we'll get back to work. Meanwhile, they were just, you know, having sex or something. So to see these men really vulnerable, I mean, John Hamm, when he got the phone call from Betty, he was sweating.
Yeah.
Within that 1 second, all of a sudden, sweat was on the side of his face and neck, and it was like real fear in his eyes.
Yeah, and I like that total breakdown after the men in the corridor. I totally bought it.
Yeah.
He's so controlled and held together, mm-hmm. Don Draper, the whole time, and Hamm delivers it with such aplomb. Then when you see him lose it, like last season when he fessed up to Betty. And, you know, really broke down for the first time in three seasons. A few episodes ago when he got really drunk and we had the flashbacks of him and Roger where they were a bit younger and his face is a bit more open, and the same thing happened when he was drunk. This whole other side, it came out, you know. And that's the first time, really, that he's shown us that. And then today, this whole other thing. It's just brilliant.
I'm sure he regrets it, though. Obviously, he was like, I should have never told you that, because now she knows the secret. And he was weak and vulnerable, and she saw him like that.
That's why I wasn't sure, because, I wasn't really sure how big a part she was going to have in the series when she came along. And now I feel like because he's confided that in her, does that mean they're going to really make it? But then at the end of the episode, what happened? He was staring at his secretary, and I was shouting, no, Don, no, don't do it again.
Yes, because obviously
philanderer.
The older secretary passed away last episode.
He did not have sex with her. We can be sure about that.
Yes.
We can't be sure of anything.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, would you put it past Don, Phil? The octogenarian secretary.
I would definitely not. You know, even seasons prior, I always thought, okay, he's gonna be a family man. He's gonna stick to one woman, and that I've always been proven wrong. So,
It's almost like when someone learns too much, he has to move on. So that's literally why there was that shift at the end, where you know she wants to go to dinner, and he says not tonight, tomorrow, and then all of a sudden he sees his secretary, and it's like on to the next one.
Yeah,
you know,
because he can only get to a certain point. But also what I thought was interesting...
Does he feel overexposed?
Yes,
in this particular case, though, as opposed to just having had his way with her?
Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, right. Well,
I think she knows too much.
It's like hard. It's hard for him to... People can't handle too much intimacy, ultimately. They can only take it for...
Right, but now she knows that he's not who he is. So it's like, well, who are you? Tell me about your family. Like, he doesn't want to get into that stuff.
But I also think that moment at the end of the episode was really like, you know, the secretary walks in and said, so it's okay. Everything worked out fine. And that was the switch, because suddenly he said, you know, he can get away with this.
I got away with it again.
I got away with it again. I could go back to my old habits.
Yep.
And then all those old habits just come straight back into his mind. He sees the woman he wants her, you know.
But of course, the unlikely ally for Don in this episode was Peter Campbell.
Yes.
So great to see him infused back into an episode in a serious way, because although I find Pete Campbell often
irritating.
Irritating. Yeah. His work is superb in the show.
Yes. Oh, I think he's a great actor.
He gets it right on the money.
I think Pete's always been a good guy, though. You know, you can nitpick him and hate him for that, but he's always done the right thing, in my opinion.
And he did today.
He definitely did.
And you wanted him to, because we love Don.
But it was a big thing to ask of him, and there's only so much time until that.
And certainly in that meeting of the partners, that was when the three stories converged for the episode, and all the guys are sitting on this stuff.
Did you think that Roger was going to tell them about Lucky Strike losing that account? Because I wasn't sure if he was going to save it to the end of the meeting.
I think he was going to until he heard the bombs that everyone else dropped, and that's why he started laughing. Because he was like, this is the worst meeting in the history of meetings.
Yeah. He had nothing left to do but giggle with a sort of sort of like oncoming madness.
But with Roger's yelling at Pete Campbell, you really got what it took for Pete to do this.
Yes.
You know, sticking his neck
great
out for
great writing
Don.
Again. Yeah. Just, yeah, really showing the stakes, you know, what he had to give up, his whole pride.
Yeah, yeah. And so what about Roger then? He obviously had a pretty, well, probably not as tough as Joni, but, well, until the Lucky Strike stuff.
Again, I feel like he and Don, they both go back into this sort of, they're like these lost puppy dogs. I mean, he
little
says
boys.
In the scene, like, I haven't stopped thinking about you. Maybe I'm in love with you. Maybe it's a sign. And then she's like, do you want to keep it? And he's like, no.
Don't be ridiculous.
You know, yeah. And then you're thinking, what is he trying to really say? Is he just constantly confused?
They're always pitching and they're always selling in their lives. Mm. So it's just like another
That's very true.
Another thing.
Yes, it was quite unusual to have the heat so openly turned onto Roger by the Doctor. In the office, like really dressing him down
and I really
calling him out on everything.
That is such a periodic snapshot. Like, we're really in that time because.
Yeah.
Think about how many cases that doctor sees every day. You know, these bosses
coming
knocking up
their secretaries.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I don't know. Is it that different now, though, Trilby? I mean, like,
I think there
are more avenues to.
There is a difference in the way a doctor would handle it, like how their bedside manner would be, I think.
Try and be unbiased.
Yeah, I think
You don't think a doctor today could dress down an older man for knocking up a younger woman?
I'm sure there are some doctors that will not perform the procedure still.
Well, yeah, but I think, like, belief, saying so. It is different. Like, they've done it before in episodes, in the very early episodes where Peggy went to go and get the pill and stuff. Like, the doctor would make comments like, oh, well, you know, go and have fun out there. Like, that just wouldn't happen now. Like, right. The bedside manner, that's one of the things I think they comment on, how it shifted, you know, how we would see it today play
but
out.
What I love about it is that it is, though, still an extremely volatile issue, especially here in America.
And really
anywhere. People always have strong opinions about it. And I love how, with all of this, with all of the stuff that, the political stuff that Mad Men deals with, whether it's issues of race or gender or, you know, abortion, you're viewing it through the 60s and when all of this stuff was really being challenged for the first time. And so it allows you to kind of distance it enough to look at it as another story from another time. And yet it is so relevant now.
Still
it's somehow, I don't know. I feel
of
like
course
so much
is.
Has changed,
it's
but nothing's really
relevant.
Changed.
Yeah.
It's always relevant. I think just Joni, Christina Hendricks plays that character so well. She's always carrying this dignity, even when she's on a bus alone by herself and, like, really, her stocks are low. I mean, her chips are down. She's having a horrible time, but she still has this dignity and
she
poise
is the best, Joni.
That's so
right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Christina Hendricks.
Did anyone think that she may not have got an abortion? Because I just wondered.
Second?
Well, no, like, maybe next week she could. We don't know for sure. She definitely did.
That's
it.
A really good point. I had not thought about that.
But
one thing I did think was that if you recall the last time that she went to the doctor, we saw her go to the doctors because I think perhaps, well, maybe her and her husband were trying to conceive. That she asked the doctor because she's had other abortions in her life,
and which is why she's probably sorry. You know, as you mentioned earlier, when she was with Roger, she just says sorry, and so she thought she couldn't get pregnant. You know, and
maybe that's
why she was sorry.
So, but if she did have an abortion, then my prediction for the future narrative would be that that was her last chance to have a baby.
That happens, though. You can only have
and now she's done
so many abortions, and then it becomes complicated.
Yeah. So, interesting. And then Lane's father turning up, who was, as you said, she'll be a bit of a prick.
Yeah, he was just so awful. But Elaine is this man who has been downtrodden. Earlier in the episodes of last season, we met his wife, and he was, you know, she was in charge in that relationship. And now you see the history of that man and how he got into such a unequal power relationship, because he obviously was brought up like that by his father, who totally dominates him.
And it's so funny how you said before about these men becoming boys, is that's what he was reduced to there on the floor,
mm-hmm.
hands
yes.
under the foot. He was turned into a little boy. And it was really quite... It's actually an extremely violent scene.
A grown man having... His father has to tell him what to do, and he has no choice about it in the matter. It seems ridiculous.
Well, obviously he does, but he feels like he doesn't,
yeah.
right?
It was awful. Awful. But extremely well portrayed, and such a shock. I mean, like, that whole... Obviously, we knew there was something odd going on when he called over the African-American waitress, mm-hmm. and he was a little bit too... We saw this sort of extra flirt on him, extra touch that you don't usually see from Lane.
I thought maybe it was a fetish at first. Like he,
yeah,
like,
right.
I just thought he liked it.
He
yeah.
just
yeah.
goes
and
to the Playboy Cafe
yeah.
and the
just
bunnies.
Just to stare at this
exactly.
girl, because she was kind of off-put by it. And
that's
she
what
like,
I thought.
Can't...
She was like, don't touch me.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, yeah. But then we find out that he's been engaging in a relationship for... however long it's been since his wife left, I guess.
And obviously at that time, interracial relationships were still very
absolutely.
Shocking to most people. So,
absolutely.
And we've only seen it once before in the very beginning of Mad Men where one of the beatniks was taken out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Martin Luther King hasn't happened yet, has he?
Yes,
it has.
It has happened.
It has, all right,
yes.
okay. I guess, right. Okay.
It was interesting because he was completely confident in the relationship. Like, he wanted to introduce her to his father. He wasn't trying to hide anything.
But then they did it so well by making, well, Matthew Weiner, I think, by choosing to put that scene that he meets her dressed as a Playboy bunny,
right.
which is, like, the
totally
worst.
Demeaning.
Yeah.
yeah.
The worst idea ever.
Because now she'll only ever be a whore
yeah.
to him, and that's not even what they
but
were.
But do you think she was a whore first or a black woman?
I think it was just hand in hand.
To the father.
To the father.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
As what he saw.
As what
yes.
he saw. Yes. Yes.
yes.
Yeah. You know.
I think just hand in hand.
Or a bit of both. A more negative connotation of a chocolate bunny.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting. I mean, again, great writing when Betty Draper got interviewed by the FBI guys coming to the house, and they asked her things about Don, like, is he loyal? And she had to think for a moment, you know, well, he wasn't loyal to me emotionally or sexually.
Yeah.
He wasn't faithful to me.
Yeah.
I mean, all of that was shown in just that little flicker. We're reminded of that entire history. It's so clever. The writing is so deep. And then, of course, she doesn't reveal anything to them. But
And the concept of Don as a deserter.
Yeah.
You know, I'd never actually, in my mind, framed his Korean War experience as desertion, more just taking on... you know, another man's identity. But when you...
Which is still strange.
Yes.
Of course. But when you
but the
hear...
Shame,
it,
the
use,
shame in that.
But they use the word deserter, and yeah, it feels like that's... it just was obviously built up in him substantially. Mm. But just back to Lane quickly, do you think that he was, in terms of his confrontation with his father... Bringing his father in to introduce him to the girlfriend, was it an act of defiance? Was it seeking approval, wanting approval, or just saying this is what I'm doing?
I think, I think he's trying to be the man. I mean, actually, even him getting involved in the company. Remember, his old boss used to treat him like shit as well.
Yes, he's
and
always
so
a lapdog.
Always mm-hmm. That's always a role he's played in this. Company has given him the first opportunity to be his own man, and I think being in New York and being away from, you know, London and all the contacts and
stiff upper lip,
yeah,
British thing that
breaking out, and he's trying to step into
he's
that,
trying to be a man. I don't
yeah.
think it was for approval, because it seems like he will never get approval from his father. It was really just kind of declaring, this is my girlfriend and I love her, but didn't go as well as planned.
Yeah.
Yeah, that older actor, I can't recall his name, but I was spending some... I was working in some auditions, and he auditioned for a film that I was just reading opposite him for. Just, it was purely for his voice. And his voice is just
amazing.
Incredible. So deep. It was for a dragon. It was, like, raw.
Wow.
And he just...
There's a bass to it that just rumbles.
It's, I mean, it's just like, it's got like razor blades on it or something. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, years of smoking must go into that kind of a voice.
Mm-hmm.
We can, but hope and dream for that kind of base. Any other thoughts about the episode in general? Anyone?
Yeah. One of the lines that I really liked, or one moment I really liked, was Pete Campbell in the lift with Don Draper saying, "I don't have to live with your shit over my head." And then, of course, by the end of the episode, he did. He did have to live with that.
I hate Pete Campbell, but I love him. I hate the character, but I know he's acting, and it's an amazing character, and it so suits that time. But just, like, that cocky,
he's such a brown
condescending.
Oh, what is he? I don't know.
I would think of him as an agent. Yes. As, like, a douchey agent in this town.
He feels like he's entitled, but his whole life, because of his relationship with his family, he at the same time feels like he's not good enough. Mm. It's that wonderful tension between I hate myself, but I deserve the best.
Right.
You know?
That's one thing in this show that I think is just done so well. Every character is always the opposite of what they are at the same, you know.
It's all a facade.
Well, yeah, but yes, but both are true. I mean, I think with you know, Joan always has that dignity and that poise, but underneath her life is she's always dealing with these terrible situations, and she's had to have 3 abortions now or whatever. You know,
Peggy,
as who wasn't in today's episode, but Peggy always seems like the real good girl and the really straight laced person, and then we always cut to scenes of her being one of the most adventurous people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, she seems more repressed, kind of, so she has to act out, and Joan seems like one of the guys. Like,
yeah.
The fact that, you know, Sterling comes to her and he wants to see how she is after the abortion, whether or not she had it, but she was, like, stone cold. No emotion.
Yeah, she can detach.
Yeah.
One thing about Campbell, I love that little scene with him and his wife back home. And that actress, do you know her name? I can't think of her name off the top, but she's one of the
series. The character, Trudy, she's a very good actress.
Yeah, she's one of the series regulars in Community, the half-hour comedy on NBC that comes before...
Before 30 Rock
now,
yeah.
I think, and it just aired its first ep of the season aired this week, and it's actually a really great show. It's really grown on me, and she plays an 18-19-year-old little sort of innocent. It's kind of a similar, has a sort of a similar tone, but not quite as sort of 50s and maternal, I guess. But she's great, and you just don't get Peter Campbell summed up any better than that, like patronizing. Sort of treating a woman as someone that just needs to be
keep them barefoot and pregnant.
You got it.
It was like, shh, I'm not gonna tell you. You're like just.
I just need to protect you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So it was a fantastic episode again, and but I mean, for me, really, as a nice little segue into our special segment this evening, the last sort of four, five, six episodes have just been really phenomenal, and I got throughout three of them this last week in a row, and I was just sort of reminded of how good this show really can be again. And so I just wanted to like touch on a couple of my favorite moments, and I don't know if you guys can recall anything from the season so far that really stuck with you. But the first one I wanted to talk about was the episode where Don wins the Clio for the Glow, whatever. Ad campaign, and he gets extremely drunk and then wakes up 3 days later and, you know, has given his name to that. He goes to bed with one girl and then wakes up with this other.
The women he goes to bed with get progressively less better-looking.
Attractive. And she calls him Dick. Mm-hmm. So he's been so wasted that he's given his old name, which was very interesting, especially as a bit of a, you know, flag for what we just saw start to catch up with him. But I love that whole episode was about how he and Roger met, and you see, and I sort of just alluded to it a bit earlier, you see them as younger men, and I don't know how they did it, but they both just did look a little bit younger. I don't know if it was just a little way the hair was styled, but certainly he lost all of his weight and his gravitas, Don, and he had a much more open go-getter kind of youthful energy, which I thought he did brilliantly. And we find out that the only reason that Roger gave him the go was because he was drunk.
And he tricked him.
And when he was drunk, yeah. He said, yeah, come along. And then in the same episode, Don ends up doing the same thing, backing himself into a corner.
Because he gets so drunk, he steals the guy's or uses that guy's idea and then has to hire him.
That's right. Yeah. I thought that was brilliant. Elizabeth, do you have
I love Sally.
Let's talk about Sally.
I think it's so nice that they're such a dynamic child actor and character that they have written, and just she has so much to do. And even
Kiernan Shipka is her name.
I know. I don't love her just because her name is Kiernan, but it's a great name.
Of course. She's, yeah.
Running away. She's just so tenacious and sassy. And
I really like how they've what they've done with her, and I really feel a huge shift in her as a young actress between this last season and this season. I feel like she's grown into herself. She used to have a little bit of a lisp. It seems to have gone away.
It has to be hers, right? It wouldn't be a character choice.
No, I don't think so. I think I don't think it was a character. I know that an 8-year-old or whatever she. I just feel that was probably her, and I just feel that as she's grown, she's sort of grown out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just see her. She's just grown into herself a little bit. You can see her sort of, approaching, her early teens. And there's just a poise and a focus to her performances this season.
Can you imagine getting to act with those people? Like, that's your first job?
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh,
yeah.
It's so fantastic.
So that whole episode where she ran away last week, I think it was lovely. Toby, do you have a favourite moment?
Well, we sort of talked about it the other day, that moment, was it last, the episode before last, where Don's writing and saying, every person tells you who they are, but we project onto them who we want them to be.
Yeah. I love that. I love that episode when we turned into inside his mind. As he's trying to get clean, he takes to, after the disastrous sort of Cleo
evening.
Yeah, the bender that went on for, well, had been going on for what, however many years. He tries to get clean and starts writing as a way to do it. And it was great to get inside his head and watch him swim. And then, was that the same episode that he and Peggy end up together?
It's a different, they had that moment of connection. It's like
that whole episode.
That was fantastic. I don't know if it was all the same episode, but I think it was. But I love that. What he said, because I think that's always what's being explored in the series and the character. And, Betty is going through that right now in her new marriage. She's now Betty Francis. But how much better is this marriage? Did she just project all of the stuff onto
We saw
Francis?
The first cracks a few weeks ago.
Yeah, is it just who
she wanted
who
someone to
person?
Save her.
Yeah, and like she could have probably been just as fine staying with Don, even though it was...
Now, January Jones, not being obviously because of the developments in the narrative, used so much, as much now. Do you miss her? Do you want her more? Or do you think this is very convenient for her because of the show? Because she's,
I don't like her
as an actress or as the character, or both.
Both. I don't know. I had just like a minor interaction with her, and she was
as a human. Like
yes,
sometime.
And she was a.
So where was that?
I was actually back in my serving days. I waited on her and Josh Groban.
Together at the same table?
They were dating.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if they were engaged or not, but they were serious.
Right.
He was, like, the loveliest thing in the world, and she was rude and terrible, and she was just, like, had this puss on her face, and it's like, I don't know what's going on in your relationship, but I didn't do anything, so you shouldn't take it out on me.
Just trying to get you a cup of coffee, lady.
Yeah. I was like, okay, and he was so nice, and I was just like, oh, you're a terrible person. So kind of when I see this character, I'm like, yeah, it's not that far off.
Oh, wow.
All right. I wonder if it's convenient for her to have more free time to be pursuing her film career and the like.
Yeah, things are taking off for her, isn't she?
I look at someone like her and go, where were you before Mad Men?
I don't think she's interesting. I think she's doing a fine job. I just don't like Christina Hendricks is dynamic to me. I think Elizabeth Moss is fantastic. I think January Jones is doing a fine job.
Yep.
I just don't want to keep seeing her.
But I do like her. I do like her performance. I don't know if she's the best actress in the world or whether this
Have you seen
character
her do anything
just
else?
Suits her. No.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
going
that's
to be
the thing.
Isn't
but
American
all of
Pie?
These people, I don't think so.
American,
maybe?
American
Pie, like one of the last ones. Yeah.
I stopped after one.
I don't know. Maybe it was three or something.
Right.
I don't know. Right.
Yeah, maybe this character just suits her. For me, I think she does show something interesting. I think that she plays it perfectly, the girl who went straight from her father's house to her husband's.
Yes.
And then to the next
I love that last week how she said to Henry, you know, after she got so freaked out. I love that little bit of the restaurant where Don's on the date with the young girl who later, you know, gives him a how's your father in the back of the cab.
What's that?
it's a French kiss we discovered earlier from Boardwalk Empire. Anyway, yeah, and she got all shaken up, and she says to Henry later that night, you know, he was the only man I'd ever been with, and that's just one of those moments where you go, God, wow, yes, it's a completely different time. And I mean, there are some people who still.
She did have that night, you know, before she
of course.
Got together with Francis.
And she's not going to tell Henry that, is she?
Yeah, I guess not.
No.
When she went, followed a man into the bathroom. It was quite exciting.
Wasn't it? Was
How's
in
your
back father?
Room.
It was like
it was. She just wanted to ask him how his father was.
Phil, do you have a favorite moment from the season so far?
Well, if we're touching upon January Jones, I think in this.
You can touch upon her.
Oh, I wish. But in this episode, it was interesting to see her when she's with her new husband, and she said, you know, she reveals that there were G-men at their house, and the reason that she does so is because she wants the truth out there, something obviously that she didn't get with Don.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why they keep her in the narrative as much, too, is just because she is the effect of, you know, Don.
Yeah, but also when she says that, she's not telling the truth because she's not going to tell him Don's history. He doesn't know that.
It's more
so
of
when
like,
she said,
I'm being honest, so you have to always be honest with
yeah,
me.
Even though she wasn't really.
It's that little thing you do, yeah. The little half truths and get the kudos.
All of these actors, where were they before? That's one of the great things about this show is that it created all of these people's careers.
Yeah, right? I mean, John Hamm, I mean, he comes on this show, everyone thinks he's one of the best looking blokes around. And you're like, well, I'm pretty sure he didn't just like. Get good looking after he was cast.
He was a high school drama teacher before he moved to Hollywood.
That's right. But it's great these
That's
stories.
That's amazing.
I love these kind of stories. And Cranston's another one. Bryan Cranston, you know, before who's you know plays Walter White in Breaking Bad. My other completely favorite show, and you know was in Malcolm in the Middle before that. It was years of just plugging away in LA, mm-hmm. getting nothing, and then bang. It can still happen late, and you know these are supremely talented actors, and it's great when that happens, and you see people who deserve it, and then they
get to do good work,
and then
know?
They give us this kind of stuff. Okay, so why don't we move into our news and gossip?
AfterBuzz TV News.
It was an emotional episode for Joan, who is Christina Hendricks, but. In real life, she is doing great. She was just named by Esquire the best-looking woman in America.
In America.
Wow.
That is quite a title.
I mean, I think it was January Jones seasons 1 and 2, and now it's really swung over to Christina Hendricks.
Oh, I mean, she is the new pin-up girl.
She's massive in Australia as well, actually. Like, she's all over Sydney.
I don't think it matters which country you go to, you're still going to have big boobs. Like,
yeah, that big boobs will have the desired effect, you mean?
Right.
No, I mean, wherever she goes, she's still going to be massive.
I see what you're saying.
It was a bad joke.
I mean, it's just so awesome because it's so nice to see someone that isn't a size zero.
Well, that's
how
it.
Many,
yeah.
How many times she was told, you're too fat, you need to lose weight. And actually, a New York Times blogger just had to publicly apologize to her because he wrote... big girls shouldn't wear big dresses, and it was referring to the dress that she wore to the Golden Globes. And
what was the dress she wore to the Golden Globes?
It was a bit funny, that dress, I have to say.
A lot of the dresses are funny at those things,
It was
though.
A purpley dress, and it had feathers off the side, and it kind of came in and pointed downwards.
But when you talk about people's dresses, normally if it's other actresses, it's not like, oh, she's so skinny. But so it was just good that he had to apologize. And
well, she's just got that great, like, old fashioned hourglass pair kind of big
like Marilyn
the hips.
Monroe.
She looks great.
And she's,
I mean, she's stunning.
Part of all of the PR that they're doing for her in Australia on SydneyMorningHerald.com and stuff is all about that and how she is now a role model, you know, for so many young girls. I hope, you know. I just think it's so important that it's not just Kate Mosses and...
All types can be beautiful.
Oh, and she's stunning and so natural, and I just think it's fantastic.
And from this, she's just breaking out into so many movie roles, and she's actually going to star with Ryan Gosling and Carey Mulligan in the indie flick Drive.
Oh, wow. So, can't wait to see that. Right, Gosling and Mulligan are two of my favorites.
Yeah, and she also just got married this year, so she's like doing incredibly well. And her husband is Jeffrey Arend, A-R-E-N-D. Mm-hmm. And he is an actor. He was in 500 Days of Summer. Right now, he's
the tall. He's the tall, geeky.
The tall, geeky guy.
Yeah.
Gets to marry Christina Hendricks.
Wow.
Wow, lucky guy.
He is. He's really lucky.
I know.
I've met him. He's a really, really nice guy and quite funny.
Yeah, he better be.
Yeah.
He better be both.
Yeah, he better not be wasting that opportunity.
I know. And actually, one of the other girls, Elizabeth Moss, who was not in this episode, Peggy's character was not, but I know she'll be in next week, she actually just filed for divorce this week from her husband, Fred Armisen. She blames his infidelity, which we know to be true, because he's already dating many people. And
Who's he dating?
Right now, he's dating Abby Elliott,
right.
Who's 20 years younger than him. She's on SNL with him.
How old is he?
He's 43 and she's 20.
Fred Armisen is 43. Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, we have a mutual friend
who knows how his father is.
Yes, there's certainly. I think we can say that we've sort of seen some of that infidelity in action.
Right, and he claims it's her love of Scientology, Elizabeth
Moss. So I didn't know she was a Scientologist.
Yeah, I didn't know
this
either.
This shatters so much. I mean, this is
But
this
we
is
don't
terrible.
Know. I mean, we're not Scientologists, so maybe it's good to be a Scientologist.
Really?
Probably not. Yeah. Probably not.
There's enough evidence
just,
out there,
That's
isn't
more
there?
If he said, she said. We know for a fact that he dated...
Yes.
Yeah, I think that
people.
Would be worse.
He was throwing
Being
it around.
Unfaithful would be
yes,
worse.
Yes, I mean, freedom of religion and all that, she's... Although I imagine, from the sounds of it, it's a pretty all-consuming kind of life approach from the little that I know. And so it could be
for
difficult
Scientology.
For Scientology. So if you weren't within a relationship,
I
could say
they're
putting
a strain
on it. I
think your values are so different that it would be really hard to be in a relationship
is she,
with someone.
Is she a fervent Scientologist, you know?
I mean, that's what the claim was, but it hasn't been confirmed.
Is there any
so.
Other kind of Scientologist?
Right, I don't think so.
Doesn't
seem if you don't
way.
Believe it hardcore, there's no way you can do it because otherwise it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, the premise is sort of ludicrous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's having so much success as well. She's got
And
it.
So she should. She's brilliant.
Yeah, she's getting a lot of acting work. So she's going to be starring in a film called On the Road, and that's with Kristen Stewart, Viggo Mortensen, Kirsten Dunst, Amy Adams, Steve Buscemi, and Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard.
Yeah, and she's also in another movie. It's Lawrence Kasdan's new project called Darling Company, and that's with Kevin Kline, Diane Keaton, and Richard Jenkins.
Wow, so she's mixing with
great
some
company.
Yeah.
And she was also in Get Him to the Greek, which is coming out on DVD soon, if not already.
That didn't do as well in the theater.
Who was she in? Who was she in it? I can't remember.
She was the wife.
Whose wife?
Jonah Hill's character.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course, that was quite funny, that whole little... Oh, yeah, and then Russell Brand comes in and he ends up sleeping with her and...
Yeah, they tried to attempt that threesome. I thought she did great as the annoying wife that, you know, wanted to move out and ruin her husband's dream.
Yeah, she was a doctor, right, in that story. Yeah. Well, she's fantastic.
It just proves that funny men can really get any woman, because January Jones is dating Jason Sudeikis.
But Sudeikis is hot.
Yeah, he's handsome.
And Armisen is less
not.
So.
But do you think that they are a product of Elizabeth Moss and Fred? That's how January met Jason? They used to go on double
Probably.
Dates after SNL.
I can't imagine them hanging out together, though, but I guess they would. Like,
oh, yeah, I wonder if it,
just,
yeah.
You know, definitely in the show, you can't really imagine Betty Draper and Peggy hanging out together, but in real life, January.
It was so funny. I remember seeing some kind of game show last year, and they had two celebrity couples. I can't remember who the second one was, one of them was, it was Armisen and
Elizabeth Moss,
and they were doing charades or something like that. It was just like some, I think it was on like a chat show or, you know, Leno or one of those ones late at night, and they're doing a competition. And I was sort of had, at this point, come into contact with the information about Fred Armisen's alleged infidelity, and I was just watching it, just feeling.
How was their dynamic?
I don't think it was, it wasn't particularly good.
I cannot picture them together at
all. And I was just like, you lying prick.
Yeah.
How could you do this to Peggy?
Yeah, don't be mean to Peggy.
Doesn't she have enough to deal with?
Yeah.
She's a woman in the office.
She already gave birth and, like, no one knew about it in early episodes of Mad Men.
It's
pretty amazing thing to go through.
I know that I mentioned before that John Hamm was a drama teacher in St. Louis before he moved to Hollywood.
Correct.
What's so interesting is that his student is on The Office now. She's a new receptionist.
Oh, right.
Yeah, her name is Ellie
She's
Kemper.
Really cute.
Ellie Kemper, yeah. Isn't that so weird?
That is, it's
your drama teacher
world.
Was John Hamm.
It's a small world.
He recently admitted that he struggles with chronic depression.
John?
And that, yeah, antidepressants really? Like saved his life. So I'm sure when he's playing these dark roles like this, he can really bring a lot to the character because he knows all those days where he just didn't want to wake up and would sleep till 4. And
Okay. And anything else there, or are we done?
I mean,
well, he was great in The Town as well.
Yeah, I was just gonna say The Town.
Yes.
You know, directed by Ben Affleck, out in theaters now.
Still killing it in the box office.
Do you think there was a little bit of talk after it did quite well that opening weekend that it could be an Oscar contender? Was it that kind of a film to any of you guys?
I mean, perhaps maybe Ben.
As an actor or a director?
Maybe both. I mean, he gave us what we want to see. We want to see him
absolutely
being who he is, and
yeah, nailed it. Boston.
You know, yeah, it was awesome. Like. His pride came through, but he did a really good job with directing.
Yeah, it was very clear.
I saw
direction.
A screening like months ago, so picture and sound wasn't locked. So I'd be interested to see how it changed.
What about John Hamm specifically in that when you saw it?
I thought his accent was pretty good, but it was nice to see him in this other kind of role, and he was totally believable in it. And I thought he did a really good job. Sold it. Completely.
Yeah, I really enjoyed seeing him and Rebecca Hall opposite each other. That was great. Those little scenes that they had, because she's so fantastic as well. Truly.
Oh, I was just saying, the only other thing I've seen him in is in 30 Rock,
of
when
course.
He plays that dorky character.
So wonderfully.
It's so incredible. Different to Don Draper.
Yeah, yeah. It's and I mean, that's what John, he's not, I met him really briefly just before the Golden Globes last year at a function, and just sort of, you know, blew sunshine up. I was just like, I was a bit gushing, to be honest. It's a bit embarrassing, but I was very much...
He's kind of
you
had
asked
a bit
how
of a
his
man
father
crush.
Was?
Just, yeah. I offered. He wasn't uptaking. No, but he was just it's nothing like Don Draper. I was incredibly kind of unassuming and nice and pleasant. And
I just saw Tina Fey on an interview, and she was saying how they all went out and partied after the Globes and stuff like that,
right.
And she said, "You do not want to go drinking with John Hamm." So I feel like he can drink like
really,
or,
really.
Yeah.
Where's he from? St. Louis.
Yeah. Well, that, I think.
Is that if that's where he's a drama teacher?
Yeah.
So is that like a drinking town? What's the go in St. Louis? Is that like I don't know. Any what state is that in? Pardon my.
It's in Missouri.
Missouri. No, it's the South,
Missouri.
Right? It's got to be a bit of drinking to be. I mean, what
it's
what
not
else
the
do you do?
South. It's the Midwest.
It's the Midwest. There you go. My geography's off.
Yeah,
my apologies, Americans.
Fine.
My apologies.
That's all I have to report.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for the news and gossip section, Elizabeth. So finally, let's move on to some predictions for next week. The teaser trailer at the end of the show was pretty vague.
Very teasing.
Very teasing.
Very teasing.
And we saw there's a little sneak peek up on the website, the AMCTV.com. They have a little full scene of Peggy and her intellectual slash potentially lesbian friend go
definitely
to the beach.
Lesbian.
And the guy, the sort of political commie, ends up in the backseat with her, and they have a little bit of let's talk about that. Are they going to get together?
Yes.
Yeah.
I really like them together. I was upset that he upset her by writing this article.
But that was. But
I was upset
but
that he upset her. Does that make
but
sense?
Yeah, it does. It
absolutely.
Does. But I think that's a great place for it to start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
they'll have hate sex
because it's intellectual. That intellectual competition.
That's what
that
she
have,
needs.
That's what she wants.
She needs to be challenged.
That's what Peggy needs.
She's
and deserves.
She's got some hippie.
The
in
other
her.
Guy she was going out with was a douchebag.
Oh,
so
wet.
Silly.
They're all so
yeah.
wet, and that's what she
this
wants.
Guy's
she wants that engagement.
And then it also, I mean, I think the show is carefully crafted to bring in the different pockets of life in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he represents along with that lesbian in. Person, I don't know what
yeah,
her name
the growing
that
subcultures.
Kind of subculture,
and
yeah. So we need to tap into that more, I think.
Absolutely.
It was really about
that was
to flourish.
A huge part of
yeah.
the culture.
Yeah.
So that's why
yeah.
I think we will go there with that relationship so that we can explore that.
Yeah,
area.
Because it really, because the other thing is that, I mean, by living inside the advertising company the whole time, we're very much inside a
corporate
capitalist consumerist consumer based like kind of model.
It's interesting. We need those outside things because when you watch the show, you can forget it's in the 60s. Obviously, the costumes and stuff like that, so you know it is, but so many of the things are timeless that it needs, like, oh, the Beatles ticket, like, just to bring you back and ground you to where this is really taking place.
And also, like, politically, to get, because they're all money-making conservatives, really, you know, I mean, Sterling's, Roger is, like, they're way out on the right, and so you get in these other characters That's what the show so wonderfully does with the women in the office, and but through very subtly showing how their side of politics just are not really represented, and you know how much we have to be grateful for what they all put up with. So is it the end of Don? Is this FBI thing the Don's?
I think he's got away.
Has he got away with it?
I don't know. Safe for now.
Well, maybe something might come from it. I don't know exactly what. Well, but I wonder what the company... I'm worried about the company in general.
Bankruptcy.
Len's gone on holiday as well. Not good timing.
I mean, yeah, I mean, specifically Lucky Strike. I mean, we've been given a timeline, 30 days, and that'll be the test for, you know...
Do you see that coming up? Is that going to round out the season? Is that going to be the last episode, the Lucky Strike news? Or is that what they were talking about in the teaser about next week? That's like... All that stuff, like,
you
should have told us.
We could have done something.
Yeah, isn't that what that's about?
Probably.
Right.
I mean, we can't tell. They make it look really tempting because they've got all the drama and everyone looks slightly irritated and looks
and we learned
passionate.
Why,
we don't
why
know
they
why.
Do that. So we go to the website.
Yeah.
Good
at drawing us in.
Is there anything else that we can predict?
I think that Don is going to get together with that secretary.
Oh, that's what
on
I
a tryst.
Yes.
Definitely. I knew it from the very first time I saw her when she had like one line in one episode. I go, oh, they're going to groom her.
Yeah,
she's going to become a secretary. Don's going to go for her.
But
that,
the doctor
you,
is so wonderful.
You.
She's such a great human being, it seems to me.
Well, she wasn't great with his kids.
Doesn't mean she's not a great person. She's just not good with
kids. If you're not good with kids, you are a bad person.
Like, no.
But she's so good for him. Just the way that he opened up with her straight away in a way that we've never seen him do with a woman. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the show. Please tune in again next week, straight after Mad Men. Chuby, Elizabeth, Phil, thank you very much for your time. Thanks to the boys in the booth. You've been listening to AfterBuzz TV for Mad Men Season 4, Episode 10. We will see you next week. My name is Paul Ashton, and thanks for listening.
For producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer Corey Sheehan, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to host an AfterBuzz show of your own, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com or buzz into our Twitter account or Facebook page by searching AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.